You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Amen. Well, Monday night, we all went to bed, what seemed like normal life. And then, as you know, Tuesday morning, we all woke up to the same nightmare. And if you're like me and most of the families in the community of Marshall, it seems like it's really hard to wake up from this nightmare, and it's really hard to understand. And here we are, the Sunday after Tuesday. We've came into this place to worship, to say that God is good, to sing, to praise Him, to gather as a people, and to hold each other and pray together. And I think as we gather, there's probably a lot of us who are asking a lot of different questions. Why did this happen? What were the motives? How could something like this happen? And maybe even at the root of this, one of the deepest questions is that question, is God good? I mean, we look at Tuesday, can we really honestly say that God is good in light of what happened in our community this past week? So we've came, and we probably have all sorts of different questions that we're wrestling with. And this morning, I don't pretend to have answers to all of our questions. In fact, we're going to have some questions that we're never going to get an answer to, at least not in this life. There are some questions that we're just not going to find answers to. So what I want to do this morning is to try to remind us of the gospel story, because the gospel story gives us a framework by which we can ask our questions under. Because what we found Tuesday was a true nightmare. But there is a bigger story above that nightmare. There's a bigger story that's been happening from Genesis, and it's going on into Revelation, into the future. And I think if we remember that bigger storyline of the Bible, it will help us to take this moment and put it into perspective. It will help us ask our questions in a way where we might not get all of the answers, but we can understand our questions and we can understand our longings, and we can see at the end of the day that yes, God is still good and God is still sovereign. He still loves us and we can trust Him. So that's what I hope that we can do this morning, just be reminded of that bigger story, that framework, where we can ask our questions and we can hopefully answer some of the questions that we get from our friends, our family, our neighbors, and our community. So as we think about that big gospel story, the first question that comes to most of our minds at some point is God good? When we see Tuesday, can we really say as a church, as a people, that God is good? Is God still good in light of Tuesday's events? And as we look to the Bible, the answer is yes, God is good, as we just sang. So how do we know that? Well, the first part of this gospel framework that we must remember is creation. And what we see in creation is Genesis 1 and 2. We have to be reminded of how things were in the very beginning. So I want to go to Genesis chapter 1, and I want to read verse 31 for us. It's going to appear on the screen. Here's what we see after all of creation. God has just created all things out of nothing. For 6 days, He's created, He spoke everything into existence. After every day, He says, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. And at the end of all creation, He's standing back, He's looking at His creation, and here's what God says. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. So here we see that God created everything, and at the end of it, God says, it is very good. So what does creation tell us? It tells us this, that God is good, and He created the world good, and He created us good. That's what God did. He created a good world for good people to live under His goodness. We need to remember that. In light of what we have seen, that God is good and He created a perfect place for us. And in that place, if you read Genesis 1 and 2, we see a place of harmony. There's absolute harmony between God and man. Man is walking with God in the garden. God is walking with Adam and Eve in the garden. There is perfect fellowship. There is harmony. Everything is good. There is no violence. There is no evil. There is no death. There is no pain. There are no tears. Everything is perfectly good. Why? Because a good God created it good. We got to remember that. When we go to Tuesday, we have to remember God created the world good. He is a good God that gave us a good world and made us as good people to live under his goodness. Harmony. Harmony amongst one another. Harmony with him. So then the other question comes up. If we've answered, is God good? Yes. Because in the beginning, he created us good. He created the world good because he is a good God. That's what he does. Then the next question comes up, and that's this. Then why do bad things happen? If God is good and God created it good, then how in the world do things like Tuesday happen? How can bad things happen, both small and horrific? How can that be true if God is good and God created the world good? And this brings in the second part of the gospel framework that we cannot forget. We not only have a creation, but we also have a fall. We have a ruin. So what we see is that God created the world good, but we rebelled against him and we brought ruin to God's good creation. So in light of Tuesday's events, what we must remember is we're living in a world past Genesis chapter 3. We are living in a world not as God intended it to be. God made it good. He gave it to us good. He told Adam and Eve to follow my word, to live under my authority, and everything will always be good. Yet what we see in Genesis chapter 3, and I encourage you to read that when you get home today. What we find in Genesis 3 is that we have an enemy, that God has an enemy. And we see that this enemy sneaks into the garden in the form of a snake, and he approaches our first parents. And what he tells our first parents is, God's really not good. His word is really not good. Life under God is really not the best life. The best life is really life above God. See, Adam and Eve, if you'll just throw out the rules, if you'll just grab of this tree, if you'll grab of the fruit that God forbid, and if you'll take it and you'll eat it, God knows something that you don't know. God knows your eyes will be opened. God knows that you'll know new things. You'll know both good and evil. You have this knowledge that only he has. You'll have it. There won't be this separation between you and God. He won't be up there and you're down here. No, you'll become like God yourself. And so Adam and Eve had a choice. They could either live under God's good word, or they could try to do things their own way. They could go above God. They could try to live God how they felt like it should go, not how God told them that it should be lived. So Adam and Eve, our first parents, they grasp at freedom. They grasp at autonomy. They said, we are going to have life how we want it. We're not going to listen to anybody. We're not going to obey the rules. We are going to bring fulfillment to ourselves rather than getting fulfillment from God. And they grabbed of the tree and they ate. And what they thought would be freedom and joy and pleasure, what they thought would make them gods, turned out to be slavery. It turned out to be guilt. It turned out to be shame. It turned out to be death, that separation between them and their creator. So they were convinced life apart from God is the absolute best life. And then when they went to it, they found that what they got instead was only guilt and shame. And when this happened, there was a rebellion that took place. They rebelled against their Creator. We're not going to listen to you. We're not going to live under you. We are going to do things our own way for our own purposes and our own pleasure. And that was the great rebellion that took place. And this rebellion led to a ruin of God's creation. That sin now entered the world. And what we see is that harmony between God and man was now broken. That when God comes to Adam, when he comes to Eve, instead of fellowship, there's running, there's hiding, there's guilt, there's shame, they're covering up, they're in the bushes, they don't want to be around God because of their guilt and their shame. But not only harmony is broken between them and God, but we see that harmony is broken amongst themselves. That the harmony that once existed between Adam and Eve is now broken. It's tarnished. Adam begins to blame Eve for all the troubles. Eve begins to blame, and they begin to disagree. And you can see there's fights. And now, as they were to live in harmony, now they're competing against one another. And there's no more harmony. There's anger that's going on in the garden. There's hate that is going on in the garden. In fact, they give birth to kids. They have two boys. The very first boys, you have two sons, Cain and Abel. And these very first two sons who were meant to love each other unconditionally and serve one another under God, now because of ruin, because of rebellion, Cain, the older one, murders his younger brother, Abel. The very first kids, the very first two, there is a funeral going on in the garden. Something that never should have happened. Now the first parents are burying their youngest son. Why? Because they chose to not live under God. They chose to go above God. They chose to be their own gods. They chose evil instead of good. And they brought ruin. They brought destruction. They brought sin, guilt, and shame, and violence, and murder, and strife, and all these things that we see is a result of the fall, result of man rebelling against God. So when we see Acts like Tuesday, what we see is that's not part of God's original plan for us. That's a result of man's wandering from God, our rebellion against him that brought death and sin. Paul will comment about this in Romans chapter 5. He says this in verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. So here's what Paul will say, commenting on Genesis chapter 3, that when Adam and Eve rebelled, when Adam and Eve went against God, they brought something into his perfect and good creation. They brought sin. Where did sin come from? It came into the world through one man. Through the act of disobedience, sin came into the world. And notice what it says, that then this sin brought death, and death came through sin, and this death spread to all men. Why? Because all have sinned. And of course, we share in that guilt, because it's not just our first parents that sin and rebel against God, but it's us. We have also all fallen short of the glory of God. We have also sinned against our Creator. That acknowledge that death is spread to us, that we also share in that rebellion, is true. So we see in Genesis, in light of Tuesday, how do we know that God is good? And how do we know that he's good in light of all that has happened? Well, we know that because we have to remember Genesis 1 through 3. We have to remember that God created the world good. He created the world perfect, and it was us. We rebelled, and we sinned against God. God's good and he made all things good. We walked away from him and brought sin and destruction into his good creation. So here's what we know about Tuesday. Tuesday broke God's heart. God shared in our grief of Tuesday. God's heart was broken over Tuesday. Yes, God is sovereign and God is in control. And for something to happen, there has to be an allowance of God. But let me tell you, God's heart absolutely broke over Tuesday because it's not what he originally intended for us. He did not want death to be in any way part of God's good creation. In fact, Jesus will say this in John chapter 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. What does Jesus come to do? To give what we're meant to have, and that's life, and not just life right now, but life forevermore, life abundantly, life with him forever. So in order to understand the events of Tuesday, we have to remember the framework of the gospel. In the first two parts, we have creation. We have a good God that created a good place and put good people to live under his good word, a place with no death and no tears and no suffering, where everything was right. The world was right. But then we also have to remember the second part of the framework of the gospel. There has been a ruin. There has been a rebellion. We have sinned against God, and we brought death and pain and suffering, and tragedies like Tuesday have came into God's creation as enemies. Because instead of following God, we walked away from him. So we see creation, we see ruin. Now the next question is, well, what is God's response? How does God respond to events like Tuesday? How does God respond to Adam and Eve's rebellion and evil? How does he respond to Cain's murder of Abel? How does he respond to the evil that we see in the world? And this brings us to the third part of our gospel framework that we have to remember, and that is called rescue. There's been a creation. There's been a great ruin, and here's what we find God does. He doesn't abandon us in our ruin. He doesn't leave us in our rebellion, but God comes. He shows up. He is present. He is right here with us, and what God does is he comes on a rescue mission for us. He comes to make all wrongs right. That's what God does. He comes with love and redemption. See, Adam was told the moment he sinned against God, he would die. And the moment he sinned against God, he didn't die right away. He actually got to keep living for a while. And he got garments of skin, and he got to still be in God's presence, though it wasn't perfectly. And we see that when we sin, we don't die immediately, though there will be death that we will all face, this separation of our body and soul, but there's this reality that there's hope past our sin, that God is still for us even though we have sinned and rebelled against him. And what we find is that God makes this promise to Eve that in the midst of their rebellion, in the midst of ruin, in the midst of sin, death, murder, tragedy, he says, Eve, you're gonna have a son. And your son is going to be born, and your son is going to enter into a war, and he is going to go to war with Satan, with sin and death, and he is going to get victory. That he is going to overcome the evil of this present age that we are currently facing. Here's what it says in Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Here's what Paul says. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory and honor forevermore. Amen. So here's what we see that God did. So where is God after Tuesday? He is right here with us. He is showing up. He is working rescue, because that is exactly what Jesus did. Jesus came to rescue us from this present evil. Some of us on Monday thought this world's a pretty good place and everything's pretty much okay. And Tuesday, we got reminded that we are living in an age that is marked with present evil. We are living in an age where everything is not okay. And what we see is God didn't leave us alone in this present evil age, but instead, he sent his son to take on flesh, to enter into our suffering, to enter into this sin-cursed world. And he came, he gave himself, he hung on a cross. Why? To deliver us, to rescue us from this present age. That's what God does. And it starts with rescuing us personally from our darkness, from our sin, from our guilt, from our shame, by repentance and belief. But there's also a reality that Jesus is also rescuing us in the future from all evil, from all guilt and shame. That he's going to make all of this untrue in a kingdom that is coming. So what does the rescue tell us about God? It tells us that God loves us. God loves us. Here's what we see in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's what God tells us. This is why Jesus came. Why? Because God loved the world, a world full of wickedness, a world full of events like Tuesday. God loved that world so much that he sent Jesus to come. And we see Jesus, he became one of us. He entered our struggles. He visited funerals. He went to his friends' graves. He experienced loss up close and personal. He cried. He grieved. He had sweat, blood drops. Jesus came into our suffering. Why? So that he could live a perfect life that we couldn't. And he could die the death that we deserve so that we could be delivered from this present darkness. So that we could be delivered from this age that we feel right now, a Sunday after Tuesday, and we could eventually be brought into a kingdom where all of these feelings will be untrue. All of these events will be a distant memory, where only good will reign forevermore. So by faith, he's rescuing you from your present darkness. But then in a cosmic view through the cross, he is rescuing us all from this present darkness in a kingdom that is coming in the future. So we have been rescued personally, but at the same time, especially in light of Tuesday, we long to be rescued fully and finally. So we've been rescued, and at the same time, we long for rescue. We long for Jesus to come back to bring a kingdom where none of this will be true anymore. And that's what we feel after Tuesday. That's what our hearts long for after Tuesday. So I have to keep asking that question, where is God in the midst of all of this? And here's what we can say, he is right here. He is with us. He was with us Tuesday morning. He was with our students on Tuesday morning. He was with our parents. He has been with us and he will be with us. So what is God doing currently in light of Tuesday? Here's what I think God is doing. He is taking bad and he is turning it into good, because that's what God does. He takes really bad things and he turns them into good. He takes broken things and he makes them beautiful. Here's what we see in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now notice what this verse doesn't say. This verse does not say that all things are good. Tuesday was not good. There is nothing about Tuesday that was good. Tuesday was horrific. Tuesday was pure evil. There was nothing good about Tuesday. This doesn't say all things are good. This says no. What God does is for those who love God, what does he say? All things work together for good. Not that all things are good, but what God does is he can take all things, both good and bad, and he can work all things for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose, for those who trust God through this. There can actually be good that comes from this, that God can take the worst of things and use them to bring about good. And I have been one that has seen that over and over this past week. Then, in light of all of the bad, God is already beginning to pick up those broken pieces and fashioning them into something beautiful. I saw Tuesday, just hours after the horrific event, we came to the church at lunch and we invited all the students to come, and I saw students gather and I saw students hug one another. I saw students from Murray and Callaway check out of school and drive across the county to come and hug another high school guy and tell him that he loves him. And I don't know when the last time that's happened. But here you have high school guys hugging one another, saying, I love you. It's this moment of we suddenly feel the reality that life is a vapor, that life is precious, that in any moment it could be gone. And all of a sudden, the stuff that those students thought were most valuable, probably when they first woke up Tuesday morning, maybe the most important thing to them was their phone and fashion. I'm going to go and these are the most important things to me. And then all of a sudden after Tuesday, they got what is most important. It's us. It's other human beings that they can look at and love and hold and experience life with. It's deep friendship. It's community. Those things are what life is really about. And part of going through a tragedy like this is us waking up to seeing what really matters and seeing a community cling to the things that really are the things that matter most to God in this world. And we see all this brokenness that God is beginning to turn into good. And as we came here on a Wednesday night and gathered to pray, and we came and we worshiped and we prayed and we saw a church react to the events, and we saw just love and an unexplainable peace and comfort in a time that is so tragic. We saw that. We saw God doing that. We've seen just God's name to go forth all over this country and all over the world because a people and a community truly believe that God is still good in the midst of this and that prayer is what they need more than anything. We've seen a whole community come together in prayer, a state, a country, a world come together and pray. And as I've talked to parents and victims, they say they can feel those prayers. And as me and Nick walked through visitation last night, we got there at 4 and we're walking through the line and we finally got to the parents after 6 hours of waiting in line. That's how many people showed up to be there, to say we love you, we care, we're praying for you. And I only went there for one purpose. I don't know the families. I don't know the parents. The only thing I wanted to do is to look them in the eye and tell them, I just want you to know there is an entire church called Hardin Baptist that has been praying for you day and night. I just wanted them to know that. And as I'm coming through after 6 hours thinking, what am I going to say to this mom and dad? What am I going to say to them? And as we're going through the line and I'm thinking I've got to bless them in some way, and as I get there, totally caught off guard that I would be the one that would be absolutely blessed. Because as I shook hands with a dad and a mom that has just lost their little girl and another has lost their son, and for them to say that it is God who is getting us through this, it is God who we're clinging to, that we know our little girl loved Jesus. We know our little boy loved Jesus. We know that they are in a better place. We know right now that they would not want to come back. We know that Jesus is holding them. Just to hear that, and that to be true, that to be a real statement of truth, and for them to every person that walks by, for them to get to say to them, man, God has a purpose for you, and God loves you, and what God wants through this is for you to know him. Man, that's God taking brokenness. That's God taking evil and working it for good. Using it so that people would be woken up to understand that this is not our home, that there is a kingdom that is coming. We need to remember that and know that and cling to that. And here's parents and grandparents, that the only way they can get through this is because of the gospel, because they know that Jesus died to rescue their son and daughter from this present darkness, and that they will see them again. So we have a creation that says God is good. We have a ruin that says sin and death was brought on by us. We are the ones who walked away from our good and perfect God, and sin entered into the world through us and death through us. But in the midst of that, we have a God who didn't leave us. We have a God who came to rescue us. God worked a rescue to deliver us from our present evil and to deliver us from the present evil in this age. He's came to rescue us. That's what the cross is about, that Jesus died to pay our sins and he rose again so that though we perish, we might live forever with him in a kingdom that is coming forevermore. And that brings us to the fourth part of this gospel framework, and that is new creation. That there's a day coming, and hopefully it's coming soon, where Jesus is going to come and there's going to be a new creation that we are going to get to experience. And that's what Tuesday hopefully puts in our hearts, is a longing for the kingdom to come. So I just want to read from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. Here's what it says. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be no more mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. Also, he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. To the one who conquers will have this heritage. I will be his God, and he will be my son. That's what the rescue is ultimately bringing. That's why Jesus came and died and rose again, to get victory over our evil, over our sin and our death, but ultimately so that the cosmos would be free from sin and death, so that he could bring a new kingdom to us where all things will be made right through the cross of Jesus Christ, so that Tuesdays will never happen again. See, before I met Preston's mom and dad, I watched an interview with them on NBC or ABC, I don't remember which one, and I'm watching this interview and just thinking, how in the world can parents even speak after something like this? And I'm listening to Preston's dad say, our faith in God is what's getting us through this. We can feel the prayers all around us. And then he said, here is what's getting us through this, that I know without a doubt, I will see my son again, and that he is in a better place. And as I heard that, as I heard a father say that who has just lost his son, those weren't just nice little words we say at a funeral. That was a victory cry to this present darkness. It was a declaration to the cosmic forces that war against us. And it is saying that evil will not win. Jesus will have the final word. He has got the victory, and he will get the victory. And there is a time coming when all wrongs will be made right. Jesus will get the last word after Tuesday's events. And in light of eternity, we will see those two beautiful young girls and boys who lost their life but are now with Jesus, who are living a more abundant life than we could ever imagine. And they're going to be in a kingdom with Christ forever, and we too are going to reign with him if we are in Christ. That's a promise if we're in Christ. And I praise God that those two individuals knew Jesus, that their families knew Jesus, because this would be a different story if they did not. See, events like this wake us up to reality. Life is a vapor. We don't know if we'll be here this afternoon, tomorrow morning. But what we know is that this world is broken. And that Jesus came not just to rescue the world, he came to rescue us. And if we are in Christ, we can have hope past all this suffering. Past all of what Tuesday brought, we can have hope. Why? Because Jesus has rescued us, and he is going to rescue us, and we will live in his good kingdom forevermore, where there will be no more Tuesdays. There will be only Sunday forevermore. It will only be resurrection. It will only be good. See, it starts with a perfect garden, and though we rebelled, it ends with a perfect city. A city where we live under God's goodness, under God's word forevermore. So how do we walk forward from this? I just want to give a few things for us to do walking forward from this. Number one, let us weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn. Let us do that. Let us show up as a church. Let us show up as friends, as community, and weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn, because we should do those things. Secondly, let us remember life as a vapor, and let us cherish life today and live in light of eternity. It could be gone in a moment. We saw that. So let us not be lulled to sleep. Let us wake up and realize that we've been given a purpose that serves eternity, not just today. Thirdly, let us value people more than things. Let us see what really matters in life. And it's not career, job, success, stuff. It's you and me. It's people, community, lives, image bearers of God. That's what matters most in this life, as we love God first and love people under him. Let us fourthly remember that vengeance belongs to the Lord. So let him deal with vengeance. Let our court system deal with vengeance. Let us be the people that offer forgiveness so that we can heal past this. Fifthly, let us walk in peace and love rather than fear and hate. Let us not move from this and be fearful and hateful. Let us trust God. Let us have peace, and let us give love. And lastly, what I would say is let us continue to be Marshall Strong. No matter what county you live in, let us be Marshall Strong, but not in of ourselves. Don't just be Marshall Strong, but be Marshall Strong in the Lord. Because that's ultimately what we need. Not to be strong in ourselves, not to be strong as a community just banded together, but to be Marshall Strong in the Lord, because only the Lord who is gonna get us through something like this. I know you still have questions. Your neighbors still have questions. The people around you still have questions, and I don't have all the answers. But here's what we do have. We have a story above this nightmare that explains to us the things that have taken place. There's a good God who created things good. There's been a ruin and rebellion, and that's why we find things like Tuesday happening. Where is God? He's right here. He came to rescue us, to walk with us, to hold us, to bind us up. And ultimately, past rescue, he takes us into a new creation where he's promised he's going to do away with all these things. No more tears, no more pain, no more crying forevermore. That's where God is, and that's what God is doing. So let us long for that kingdom to come. And let us help our neighbors and our friends and our loved ones, and especially non-believers, to understand that bigger framework of the gospel, because it's only in Jesus that we can have hope in this situation. What we're going to do now is we're going to close with another song. And we've got counselors here that would love to talk to you. If you just need to be prayed over, if you just need prayer, if you need to talk to someone about the gospel, if you need to repent and believe in Jesus, if you need to have a loved one to pray for, we have counselors here. I'm going to go ahead and ask them to stand up. You've already been identified. So if our counselor would just stand up and make your way towards the front, they're here for you. They would love to talk to you. They would love to pray over you. They just want to be a resource for you. I know this is a very difficult time. They would love to be here to talk to you. Whether you're a student, parent, whoever you are, they would love to talk to you. So during this song, if you want to just worship, if you want to pray, if you want to come get one of these guys or girls, they would love to take you somewhere and have a conversation with you. We've got almost 6 minutes left to just sit and process and think. So we're going to sing, and then we're going to let these counselors be here for you. They love you. We love you. Let us be a church that loves our community. And then after this song, Nick's going to come up and lead us in a corporate prayer before we leave. So let's worship. Let's pray. Let's sing. Let's get help. The altar's open to you. However you need to respond, please do so.
You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me. Yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hand. And I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful, you're faithful. You are faithful. I know who goes before. promise is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
Before we head out this morning, I want to just take a time and just pray for our students and their families as they're going to be heading back to a full week of school starting tomorrow. And I know that's going to be just a scary time, just a lot of different emotions going on. And so I thought it would be just good if we would take time just to pray for them, lift up all the school administrators, the teachers, the faculty, the staff, the students, their families, and really just the whole community of Marshall as they work on just healing and starting fresh tomorrow. So we're going to take a time to pray for them right now. Father, we come to you in this moment, and Father, we love you. And Father, as we heard this morning, that Father, you are good and you created this world good, and the evil that we see, Father, is a product of our rebellion. Father, you offer hope. You offered hope when you sent your son Jesus to die for us. And you offer hope when you rose him from the dead, seated him at your right-hand side. And Father, we know there's going to be a day when you're going to make right all the wrong. And Father, we long for that day, and we wait eagerly for that day. And Father, right now, I just pray over our students. Father, I know they're hurting. I know they're scared. I know there's just a vast amount of emotions that are filling their minds. Parents as well, grandparents, aunts, uncles, family members, friends, just this community, Father. But Father, I pray that tomorrow, Father, we as your people would shout victory over sin and death as we proclaim the gospel in the way that we enter those schools, the way we go back to work, the way that we love our neighbors, the way that we do life. Father, we know that you have told us in your word that you've given us a spirit not of fear. But we cannot be a people of fear, because we have a Savior who has gone before us. So, Father, let us look to the cross. Let us look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. You've given us a spirit not of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-control. Let us walk in that power. Let us walk in that love. Let us display self-control. Father, I pray for our students right now. Father, I know that their mind is in a million places, but Father, I pray that this would be a time where, Father, you would open up their eyes and their hearts to the truth of the gospel, and that they would wrestle with that. They would wrestle with that. They would come to terms with, do they know you? Do they have a relationship with you? Do they have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ? And Father, I pray that in the midst of this, that maybe the good that we're going to see come from it, Father, is a major revival in our community of people turning away from sin and turning and putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Father, you are good. Let us remember that. Let us hold on to that, not just tomorrow, but for the rest of our lives. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.